This evening have a wonderful young lady, yes. A wonderful mother of four grown men, yeah. We have a lady whose husband loves her dearly, and she has a husband that she loves dearly, and she has asked God to let her work for him on this earth plane, and God has taken her up on it. And she does wonderful, wonderful job of sharing her thoughts with all of us. And this is somebody that most of you know out there, maybe one or two of you don't know, but I think most all of you know our Andrea Dare.
And I said, hey, I'm talking tonight. You're supposed to sing on the nights that I talk. And he said, well, I'm not prepared. And I go, you got your phone. And that's all he needs. So I knew that he'd do it, and I knew that he does it great. And just some of the parts of that song get you choked up a bit. So it's a good song.
Yeah, I can't make eye contact with everyone singing the song. You know,
things that hit us where we need to. So, I'm going to talk tonight about skeletons in your closet. Oh, good. You know, we've all been told that everybody's family has skeletons in their closet.
I do know that.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody has skeletons in their closet. You have your family skeletons. You have miscellaneous people that you've met along the road of life. You got their skeletons in your closet. And then you've got your own skeletons in your closet. We walk through life with these skeletons in the closet, and we've got the door locked and have our foot up against the door because we don't want anybody to see those skeletons in the closet. Because if you see what my skeletons are in my closet, you probably won't like me. You'll probably think, I'm a terrible person. But you probably think that if you see the skeletons in your closet, I'm going to think the same thing about you. We're all so afraid of those skeletons in the closet, so we keep that door shut. And the thing is that we started putting the skeletons in the closet when we were just a little kid. You know, 2, 3, maybe even younger. And by the time we were 10, that closet was about halfway filled up. And then we go into our teenage years and we fill it up a little bit more. And then we get into our 20s and it's full, and we're having to shut every time we throw something in that door. It's a little bit harder to close each time, huh? It takes a lot of energy to keep that closed. The lock doesn't quite handle it, so we stick a chair under it. And we hope and we pray that one of those skeletons doesn't come out. But every once in a while, don't know how, it eases out and one comes out. And somebody sees a part of us that is not very pretty. And that we have learned long ago, this is bad. Now, what is bad? Everybody's idea of bad is just a perception. What might be bad for me may not be bad for you. So, but we have our own little perception of what bad is. And bad is in that closet, and we don't want anybody to see it. So, you know, we've got the door locked, and that's not holding it, so we put a chair up against there. Eventually, we're going to have to stick a dresser in front of it. Because each time, you know, we're afraid those skeletons are going to come out. So we're dealing with the skeletons. Okay, now let's switch over to, I've talked about masks that we wear different times, how we all have masks, because we're afraid these skeletons are going to come out. And really, if you guys really knew who I was, you wouldn't like me. So when I come to church, I go through my bag of masks and I put on my good girl mask. And I'm a good girl. I go to church and I'm good. When I go to work, I go through there, I put on my smart girl mask. I'm smart at work. When I go out with the girlfriends, I put on my happy-go-lucky girl. You know? But when I'm at home, what mask do I wear? Nobody sees me with that mask. So we got one foot trying to keep the door shut for the skeletons, and the other one, we're carrying this bag of masks. Now, if we know where we're going and who we're going to see, we know what mask we need to bring, so that's not so bad. About a year ago, I had this insight into myself. I thought, I don't like meeting new people. I don't need new friends. I've got plenty of friends. I have this nice little circle of friends, and you know, it extends out about here. I know what masks I need to wear with each of them. When I go to certain places, I know what mask I need. So, meeting new people, I don't know what mask I need. You know, so you meet someone new and it's kind of like, you got to size them up. You go to a party that you've never been to, or you go to a new church or a new function, you got to carry your whole bag of masks, and you got to try and keep that closet door shut. It's exhausting. And you know, then we get in our 30s and we go, life is hard. Holy cow, I got this bag of masks that I just have to keep putting new ones in because new people keep coming into my life, new experiences. I got to get a new job. I got to go to a new dentist. I got to go to a new doctor. So that bag of masks is bigger. All the meanwhile, you know, this closet, for some reason, it's like these skeletons keep multiplying. Now I'm ready to go get the refrigerator and stick up against the door. You know, come on, just stay shut. So in our 30s, we kind of decide, something must be wrong with me. I don't fit in. I don't fit in. I'm a freak. Everybody would really know that. They say I'm special, but I'm special in the bad way. Because I have these thoughts that a good person would not be having. So maybe I need to go to church. So I'm going to go find religion. And so we go and we find a church. And we find a church because we want to figure out how we can become whole. How we can learn how to really lock that door with the closet and figure out how to make our mask bag a little bit lighter and how to have life not be so hard, because life is hard. And you think, gosh, if I knew that it was going to be this hard before I came, why did I come? Why did I come to here? Well, we came here to grow and learn. And I'm going to use some quotes throughout my talk. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Some of you guys will know. But at the end of the talk, I will let you know who it is. And one of the things that they say is, as far as we can discern, the sole purpose of human existence is to kindle a light in the darkness of our mere being. How many of you have been told you need to shine a light in your dark, ugly areas? No! We're told shut the door, lock it away, have happy thoughts. So we come to church because we want to have one of two things happen. We want to metamorph, or we want to transform. Now, what's the difference? I don't know. So I went to the dictionary. Metamorphosis is a profound change in form from one stage to the next in the life history of an organism, from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Complete change of form, structure, or substance as transformation by magic or witchcraft. So you just go poof. Okay, so that's metamorphosis. Transformation. Any complete change in appearance, character, circumstances, the act or process of transforming, state of being transformed. Change in form, appearance, nature, or character, or my favorite, a wig or hairpiece for a woman. A wig or hairpiece for a woman. Women, did we know that all you have to do is go buy a hairpiece and you can be transformed? Awesome! I just keep changing my hair. So, you can pick which one you want, the metamorphosis or the transformation. The metamorphosis kind of seems to be on a cellular level, huh? The transformation is kind of like an appearance, you know? Today I wear my hair like this and I'm wearing this outfit. Well, maybe tomorrow I'm going to wear it differently, or I can go buy a wig and I can be transformed. That's the surface stuff, and that's what we work on. Because we're told, don't look at the dark stuff, you know? You just got to forget that. But one of the things that keeps happening in this, another quote, when an inner situation is not made conscious, it appears outside is fate. How many times do we hear? We use politicians because they're out there. They're about as public as you can get. You hear a politician who has been enticed, soliciting a prostitute. But he's a good, upstanding character. He's married. But, you know, how does that happen? Or you hear somebody that's, you know, an adult that just went off and shot up the office. Or, you know, these horrific things. And they're always by people that were so quiet and so nice. And they seem so normal. But don't we all just want to be normal? So what is normal? But is it that they've been trying so hard to keep that door locked with those skeletons in it that they let their guard down one time, and one of those skeletons got the best of them because they were too afraid to look at that dark spot in their life. They're too afraid to go in and say, what is this? You know, so I've been pulling skeletons out of my closet for about the last year. And really, mostly for the last few months. And it's been very interesting. You know, if we could just sit in our room and never have contact with anybody, wouldn't our life be perfect? No, because you know what? You're with the worst person. You're with yourself. You're with the person that has the worst thoughts about you. And I call it kind of beating up the baby. You know, you started with these when you were real young. So if I brought a 3-year-old up here, and I sat there and I said, you're terrible, you're awful, you're a loser, you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything, and I totally beat this 3-year-old up, I don't think I would get past the second sentence and somebody would be up here saying, whoa, 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 you can't do that. But we do that to ourselves. We've done it to ourselves since we were little. We have ideas and beliefs about the outside bad that we developed from a 3-year-old's point of view. So when those things come up, we kind of deal with them as a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 10-year-old, whatever level. Because it kind of stunts us. So how do we open the door and start letting the skeletons out? Well, I'll tell you what, they're always giving you hints of what you need to work on. If you meet somebody and you just go, oh, they pushed that button. And not the happy button. Well, it would be really nice if I could sit here and tell you, you got to fix that person. But it's not about them. It's about you. It has nothing to do with them. They are a mirror for you to look at. What do I dislike about them? Are they arrogant? Are they pitiful? Do they play the victim? Are they a control freak? What is it that plugs you into them? And when you can see that, then you can look at yourself and say, they're a real control freak and that just irks me. So where in my life am I a control freak? And you may not see it right away, but I tell you what, as soon as you ask that question, Spirit brings all kinds of little lessons for you to see. Oh, here's one for you, here's one for you, here's one for you. I'm going to tell you a fun one that I learned recently about myself. And it was kind of hard for me to really see it. But I made the statement about a week before this incident happened that I'm not a competitive person. You know, if you play a game, you just play a game to play. It's not about winning or losing. I'm not competitive. So my husband has this game that we play that's a driving game, and I really stink at it. I crash, I go into the rivers. If there's anything to fall into, I fall into it. And, you know, so I don't like to play it. So I said one night, you know, I really enjoyed when we played Wheel of Fortune this one time. So we're playing Wheel of Fortune, and we're having a good time, but he keeps beating me. So, you know, he just keeps playing and playing and playing, and I keep hitting bankruptcy, and you lose a turn, and I'm getting a little miffed. And I'm thinking, wow. Well, you know, it's late at night. I'm probably tired. So finally it's my turn. He gets a phone call, and he's on the phone, and I get to solve the puzzle. So I type in what it is, and nothing happens. And I'm looking for the button to say, this is what I think it is. and it doesn't work. And I go, what button do I put? And he's like, and I go, ignore me. So that's what, you know, I felt like he said, just forget it. And I said, what button do I push? And he's like, I don't know. And I go, you gotta help me. What button do I push? I got mad. It's like, come on. And he turned the game off. He says, he gets all funny because you didn't have it right. And if you had it right, it automatically goes off. And I go, well, you could have told me that. You didn't have to. I was mad. So I'm going to pout mode. So we turn the TV on. We're sitting there. About 5 minutes later, I just start laughing. And I said, I'm a poor sport, aren't I? He goes, yeah. And I said, oh, I don't like to play competitive games unless I am sure assured that I can win. I play solitaire. You know, that's not training. But I don't want to play a game unless I know I can win. I don't like to lose. Oh, wow. I sat with that for a few days. And it opened up a whole ball of worms. I mean, it goes down the road on, I've cheated in games before. Against my kids. Now, if you're playing against adults and you cheat, well, that's one thing. But if you're playing against your kids, you're supposed to let your kids win. I started going, oh my gosh. So I play it safe. I play games that I'm assured that I'm going to win. So where in my life do I play it safe? Where in my life do I hold myself back? Because I don't know for sure if I can win. You know, could I get up here and sing like my husband did? I'm sure I could. But it would terrify me. It would terrify me. That is something that I know eventually I will probably need to do just to get over that fear, because that's a fear that I have. Because I might not do it good enough. I might mess up. You guys all might sit there like this. Chances are not. You know, what is the worst thing that's going to happen if we start letting some of these things out? What do we fear most of? We fear that we're not going to be liked. We fear nobody's going to be around us, that we're going to be alone. We have so many fears, and they just keep piling up, and they keep driving us to do things just mediocre. And our fears actually can drive us to do some things, but they hold us back so much. You know, we come to church because we want to find our light, but we cannot find our light until we start shining our light in the dark corners, those areas that we don't want people to see. You know, one thing that I learned years ago was that I was a very critical person. And I find that as soon as I make a statement, I'm not critical. I don't judge anybody. Oh my goodness, you know what? I'm going to have 3 or 4 lessons that show me that I'm critical. Well, what I found in that was it made me a humble person. It was my pride that was making me critical. So a lot of times over the years, I've talked about things that I've had to deal with. I've talked about jealousies. I've talked about insecurities. I've talked about irresponsibility. And I always say, you know what? You are responsible for the choices you make. If you are unhappy with your life, the only one you can blame it on is yourself. You can be a victim or you can be victimized. You make the choice of where you want to stand on that. Nobody else tells you you're a victim. You can make the choice. If you want to be the victim, then you are focused totally on you and poor me and everybody did this to me. If you realize, stuff happens. We cannot have a life here on earth without things happening. So we get victimized. But if you can look at that and you can focus on other people, that will help you heal, because maybe that instance happened to you so that you could help somebody else. And if all you're doing is looking at me, you're missing all the people that are coming to you for your help. Because what are we here for? We're here to be of service. You know, I used to think, I don't want to be in a service industry. I don't want to serve people. You know, because I always thought that was like the dirty cleaning and that. But I realized, you know what, I'm not happy unless I'm helping somebody, unless I'm of service to somebody, because that's why I came here. And it is in that negative, in that darkness, that we grow. We didn't come here to have a perfect, happy life, because happy, 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 it doesn't show us anything. Think about the times when you've had the most pain, the times when you've been there on your knees, crying and sobbing and saying, God, help me. The times when it feels like you would rather physically have somebody tear open and rip your heart out than to go through the physical pain that you've gone through. Or you're going through, it's like, those are the times when you grow the most, because when you get through that, you can triumphantly say, I survived. I learned a lesson. I found the light in that dark, because in every negative aspect, I don't care whether it's jealousy, whether it's criticism, anger, anything that you consider as negative, there is a gift in there. And there is a time to be angry and stand up for what you need to stand up for. Sometimes you have to stand up for somebody else who is not able to speak. I saw a license plate the other day. It said, speak your mind even if your voice shakes. And that hit me to my core, because I remember there have been so many times in my life when I've been so afraid to say anything, so I keep my mouth shut. And then I blame myself. You didn't say anything, so, you know, what happened? And it just, I bring that on. So it's like, if you can get the courage to say, stop, or don't do that, or stand up for someone. A healthy man does not torture others. Generally, it is the tortured who turn into the torturers. So it is up to us to not continue torturing ourselves, because I guarantee you, those headlines, look at the headlines. There's always such a nice woman, such a nice guy. I didn't believe that they had these dark secrets. And what happens is when you start doing this, you can drop your bag, because people can begin to see you who you are. And, you know, I got some bad news for you. I'm special. Everyone here is special. And we're all the same. Not one of us is better than anyone else. You know, we can look at Millie and say, she's the best psychic I've ever seen. She would say, I'm not that great of a psychic, but in my life that I've ever seen, I think she is. She's a great minister. She's a great teacher. But she didn't wake up one morning when she was 15 or 20 and go, I'm going to be a minister. I love everybody and I'm a psychic. Therefore, boo. She had to work at it. It takes work. And she would be the first to tell you. And if anyone listened to some of her classes that she's given over the last couple of weeks, she talks about that. She didn't become a psychic overnight. She didn't become a minister. There is fear around that. You're not sure. You know, you doubt yourself, but you do it because you feel that pull, that calling. So it takes work. And it takes work with going inside. And it's okay if you have to go through the dark night of the soul. Look at the phoenix. The phoenix had to go into the ashes and totally burn up and be consumed by that in order to fly up out of the ashes and be who it was supposed to be. We have to go into that pain and that emotion in order to come out and step into our full light that we are supposed to be. How's my time? Up? Oh. Oops. So, I want to close with this little, it's a Latin writing. And it's from Desiderius Erasmus, who declared the statement had been an ancient Spartan proverb. And the person who I've been quoting all night, Carl Jung, and I haven't quoted as much as I thought I would, popularized it by having it inscribed over the doorway of his house and put upon his tomb. It says, summoned or not, God is present. Invoked or not invoked, God is present. Called or not called, the God will be there. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. Bidden or not bidden, God is present. Bidden or not, God is present. Bidden or not bidden, God is there. Called or uncalled, God is there. God is always there. You don't have to go through it alone. You ask for help. It doesn't have to be a life-wrenching process. It's not going to be easy, because you're going to be bringing up feelings that you haven't had. But once you bring those up and you let them release, It's great. And you just hold on to that finger of God and you know that He's always there. He's always there. Even when you don't think He is, He's there. And if you want to know what you need to work on, look in where your life is not working. Your outer life is a direct reflection of your inner life. So if your outer life is utter chaos, then you know you've got utter chaos inside. Look and see who's plugging you in. Most likely, it's people very, very close to you. And they are a direct mirror of what you need to look at. And with that, I'm going to close. Because I guess I went over. So thank you for this time.